Hello and welcome to episode number 40 of Patriotic Weekly Review. Sometimes I can't get over how quickly we've sped through these first 40 episodes. That's 40 months of pretty good content. I'm not being overly self-congratulatory there. Now, we have a lot to talk about tonight. Obviously, we've seen in the news there's the issue of the Jamaica 50 and how liberals do not want us to deport rapists, murderers, and drug dealers. That's obviously something we're going to talk about quite a bit. We have the issue of HS2, the high-speed railway, being given the green light by Boris and his globalist pals. And we also have the issue of the coronavirus, which is still very much in the news. And we'll be talking about all of these things with our special guest, Horace, who we'll be introducing shortly. But before we do that, I have to give a few shout outs and go through the introductions. Now, the first thing is we are live here on YouTube, but we're also live on Radio Albion. That is the site that is run by Sven Longshanks. He's a good friend of mine. He produces excellent content, and there is a wealth of uncensored nationalist material over on Radio Albion. And this show goes live at this time on Radio Albion as well as on YouTube. So they now have live streaming capabilities. So remember, after the show, if you want more excellent nationalist content, a great place to go is radioalbion.com. Now, if you would like to contribute to the show, either financially or by asking questions, please use Entropy, which is the free speech alternative to YouTube's Super Chats. Now, the Entropy link is on my Twitter, it's on my Telegram, it's in the description of the show, and it's also in the live chat now. You can make financial contributions, you can ask questions, and all questions are voted on by Entropy users, and the best questions get asked every week, and all super chats and donations are read out. If you can't donate via Entropy but wish to, feel free to donate via Bitcoin. My address is in the description of the show. And if you want to contact me, just to send me a message or to donate through another means, you can message me at mark@thefallofwesternman.com. I answer all emails sent to me unless they're just spam or a link without any text or anything like that. Now, one other small piece of information. A lot of people keep saying, Mark, where are the old episodes of PWR? And I get messages every week on my channel. I get messages every week on my Twitter, on my Facebook, people emailing me even saying, where are the old episodes of PWR? Well, episodes 1 to 39 can be found in their entirety over on BitChute. They are not found here on YouTube. They are removed 12 hours after they go live. But every episode in their entirety, uncensored, can be found on BitChute. So please, make sure you subscribe to my BitChute channel. We've got over 10,000 subs over there now, so it's growing very nicely. It's a great alternative platform to YouTube, and all of my back catalogue of videos, everything, can be found there, unlike on this platform, which is very, very censorious. Now, before we go over to our excellent special guest, I'm going to introduce my amazing co-host who has been with me now for, well, when did you come in, Jason? When did you come in? Episode 40?
A week or two ago, at least.
A week or two. I think we've nearly done 100 shows together now. So that is quite incredible. But here is Jason. Jason, what have you been up to this week, my friend? And also, who is going to be on the after party and when will that go live?
Well, we're going to have a magnificent after party. I can tell you this. We're going to tap right into someone, but I just don't know who yet. We're still figuring that out. So it'll be probably Thursday or Friday evening, Eastern Standard Time. And we hope that all of these wonderful folks will show up and participate in the show and the help that we provide and to folks to go free. The lucid truth of what's going on in the world, not misrepresentations of polls that are taking place in the military, but the absolute truth. So yeah, been away on an IRL, very busy, had very little sleep, but I was able to catch up on a little bit last night. And otherwise having a magnificent time serving white well-being, very excited about all of the opportunities that are presented to us right now and that are proliferating around the world. So everyone should be white-pilled today, because there's nothing but opportunities that are coming to the fore. And it's magnificent to be with the great Mark Collette and also our wonderful guest Horace here. And I look forward to the show. I pass it back, good brother.
Excellent. Well, we've gone through the introductions. We've gone through the little bits of news and information that we give out at the beginning of the show, and we've done it in under 6 minutes. So the complainers will hopefully not be complaining too loudly this evening. So now to introduce the excellent Horace. Now, Horace is a relatively new addition to our YouTube sphere of influencers. He has a channel here on YouTube and a channel on BitChute. And I have been checking out that channel a little bit today, and I must say I am absolutely bowled over and very, very impressed, not only by the length and professionalism of the videos that Horace produces, but also I'm absolutely enthused by the topics he chooses to speak about. Now, recently Morgoth made an excellent video about how this sort of bulldog and Spitfire and Churchill patriotism was actually a bad thing for people who want to preserve those of European descent. And that was an excellent video, and I couldn't have agreed with him more. And one thing you'll never see on a Patriotic Alternative leaflet is pictures of Spitfires and bulldogs with Union Jack waistcoats. I find all of that cringe. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done with the public on countering many of the lies which have got people thinking that the ultimate act of patriotism is to actually oppose people who want to preserve those of European descent. And some of the work that Horace is doing to change hearts and minds on this subject is absolutely priceless. His videos on the Second World War, his videos on Churchill, his videos on what happened to the European people after the communists took power in Europe are absolutely incredible. This man really does deserve a medal for his hard work, for the top-tier content he produces. And I hope that after this show, I've put the link to his BitChute in the channel description, but I'm hoping that the mods put the link to his YouTube in the live chat now. And I really hope that after this show, you go and subscribe to him on YouTube and BitChute and digest the wealth of priceless material that he is producing. Now, without further ado, I'd like to welcome Horace. Please tell our viewers how we can find you, how we can support you, and how we can contribute to your excellent work.
I'm bowled over, man. That's a great introduction. Thanks a lot. I'm really pleased to meet you two guys, because you've been working for the cause of our people for many long years, and I'm quite new to it. So, you know, I look up to you guys, and thanks for having me on. I am on YouTube and BitChute, and I don't mind people going to my BitChute channel first, because I expect to get banned off YouTube at some point, because on my own channel, I don't really speak in euphemisms or anything. So, and in my last video, I called out directly the sort of people who are campaigning to have us banned from YouTube. So, you know, things like that will get me banned at some point. So it's fair enough people going to my BitChute first. You can see the link to my YouTube from there anyway. But I think you absolutely nailed what I'm trying to do. I think of what I'm trying to do is pull down the Churchill statue, really, because he's the very opposite of what I would consider a hero. And I would not have said that maybe 10 years ago. It took me a while to realize. But once I did realize, I realized hard, and now I think of him as an absolutely terrible man and a catastrophe, and his war is a catastrophe. I mean, he didn't start it, but he did escalate it until it became a nightmarish, mass murderous thing. And also this ties into, the mention of Churchill ties into why I started making videos at all. Like, I'd made one last summer before the video came out from Tommy Robinson or TR News channel. Which was an attack on you, Mark, Shazia, and Dion. I was vaguely aware of Shazia at that point. I was aware of you from way back, but I'd never heard of Dion until then. And now, you know, I'm kind of friends with all three, and I'm not at all friends with TR News. And in that video, I don't know if you remember, it was one of the stupidest and worst videos I've ever seen. But it was, they made a point of saying that British nationalism is defined really by Winston Churchill. And I could not disagree more diametrically with that. it was really funny how many things they got wrong in that short half an hour. So I was prompted to start putting distance between what I see as real nationalism or real patriotism and the phony thing that stands in its place, sort of what I call the imposter right, which is both the Tory party and, yeah, things like the Tommy Robinson movement, which I used to like, you know, I used to vaguely support, but no, I want to clear away the illusions that are entangling and strangling our people and confusing our thinking. And the series that I'm making at the moment, which I'm hoping to conclude with my next video about the Second World War, it started with this one that I did called The Infolding of the Right, which was prompted by the common practice of people on Twitter and elsewhere, you see this all over the place, referring to Antifa as the real fascists. And apart from it being just amusingly stupid, I just thought it was a really important thing to try and untangle, you know, to try and find out exactly how that mistake got started. And a lot of people seem to like that video and the ones I've done since then. So that's what I'm in the middle of at the moment. And then once I finish this series, I've got loads more ideas. So I hope people will check it out. And, you know, I love all the feedback as well. The only other thing I'd say before I hand it back is just that I only intended the first video. I had done one video before that attack video on you, but the one I did as a response to it was called Against Brian and Avi, which is the one I've done that's got the most views. And that was supposed to be a one-off, but I just got all these comments underneath saying, right, what's your next video? And I just thought, next video? But then I made one and people loved it. So that's why I've carried on. So I really appreciate everyone's comments and encouragement and appreciation. So I hand it back.
Excellent. Well, thank you. And it is very good what you're doing. I tend to find that many people in Britain actually think that Germany started the Second World War. They actually believe that the Germans were planning to invade Britain. And this is really bizarre, because when you actually point out that Germany were essentially freeing many ethnic Germans that lived in land which is now considered Poland, and by doing so, it caused Britain to declare war on Germany over the neutrality of Poland. But the interesting thing is, if there ever was a war that was completely pointless, you could say it was the Second World War, because Britain declared war on Germany over the neutrality of Poland. And at the end of the war, was Poland neutral? No, it wasn't. It was behind the Iron Curtain and it was under Soviet control, but that didn't seem to bother Britain at all. And you can see that that war was justified on such a phony pretense. And ever since then, that war has been used, and a twisting of history around that war has been used in order to beat Europeans into this mental submission where we are expected to simply sit there meekly and accept and even welcome our own demographic demise. So I absolutely do think what you're doing is very, very important. And I think I think you need to be absolutely commended for that. But there's a lot to discuss today in the news, or there's been a lot in the news. And I've just seen actually people sending me Way of the World's excellent new video on the Scandinavian Airlines scandal. Now, I hadn't actually seen that. Way of the World, your video came out and I was just cooking steak pie for the family. So fortunately, I was doing my manly duties of creating tea for the missus and the child. So I haven't had a chance to watch that yet, but I'll certainly be getting around to it. So we will be discussing that. But I think the first thing we need to really kick off with tonight is the issue of what has been called the Jamaica 50. Now, in the thumbnail, you'll see I was alluding to the fact that we were going to talk about this, because not only did I have a picture of War Master Horus, and yes, if there's any confusion over the picture and the thumbnail, Horus I didn't get the high resolution graphic of Horus's little image in time. So instead I used a character from Warhammer 40K, which was not meant as any offense towards Horus.
No.
It's just quite a cool image. So
that's not offensive. I love the Horus Heresy story. I think it's brilliant. So
I'm pleased because there's usually someone in the comments, and if I don't use exactly the right graphic or the image they like, they complain. So that's been put to bed. But the other part of that image is a group of people, a group of leftists and people from ethnic minority communities protesting. And there has also been much made in the media about this issue, especially from people like Ash Sarkar and also by MPs, people like David Lammy, who are absolutely up in arms that this is happening. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, the Jamaica 50 are 50 criminals who are of Jamaican heritage, were born in Jamaica, have come to the UK, but are now in the process, or were in the process, of being deported. Some have been allowed to stay. Now, these people are very, very serious criminals. You have drug dealers, you have rapists, you have murderers. And the British government are saying these people came to Britain, they committed horrendous crimes, and now we are deporting them. But the High Court judges are attempting to stop this. Many MPs are saying that this is just the Windrush scandal all over again. And you have all these people expressing great outrage on Twitter. You have people like Ash Sarkar, people like David Lammy, all the usual suspects crawling out of their holes to protest against this. But I think really, before you go around the group and discuss this a little bit, for me, it's very, very, very simple indeed. Here you have Liberal Britain stating unequivocally that the rights of people who weren't born here but came here and committed absolutely grievous offences are more important than the safety of the British people. And this really tells you where the priorities lie for people on the left, for liberals, whatever you want to call them, social justice warriors. Their priorities will always lie with those of immigrant descent, even when those of immigrant descent are the worst type of criminal offenders and pose an absolute real and present danger to the law-abiding masses here in Britain, who are still somewhat 80-85% white. And this tells you everything you need to know about the multicultural agenda. This isn't about creating some rainbow nation where everyone lives in harmony and everyone is peaceful and the best of the world come here to enrich us all and make life better. This is about bringing as many people from all over the world into Britain as the liberal establishment can. And when they're here, giving them rights and privileges that far exceed those enjoyed by the indigenous people. And this is a scandal. It's not a scandal we're trying to send these criminals back to Jamaica. It's a scandal that so many people are trying to let them stay, and that the judges in Britain are bending over backwards to use human rights legislation, not for the good of the British people, but in fact, to put law-abiding British people at risk. Now, we'll start with you, Horace, then go to Jason. What are your thoughts on the Jamaica 50? Have you seen anything in the press about it? Is there any commentary you've seen from these liberals that particularly disgusts you? And what's your overall feelings on the issue?
I've not seen, I can imagine the sort of thing that Ash Sarkar is tweeting. I mean, she is a straightforward anti-white communist. David Lammy, I've seen, has been all over it. No surprise whatsoever. There's been a couple of amusing made-up Guardian headlines from David Lammy floating around that may or may not have been done by someone I know. But the number of people being deported is minuscule, I mean, compared to the number of people who should be deported. But it is significant. It's a significant tussle, isn't it? It's like sort of a... it is a struggle for power and for morale as well. I noticed, I mean, I'm a little bit surprised that the Tories are deporting anybody, because, I mean, obviously at the same time, they're importing people at a rate of, what, a net figure of over 200,000 a year still. So, I mean, you know, this does not solve the problem, but it's good. It's better than zero. I mean, I or someone I know recently, well, actually a few years ago, started a hashtag that has been carried on since then, just saying start the deportations. And I don't mean only foreign criminals, or that is the most egregious and obvious category of people who should be expelled. But I mean, all illegal immigrants should be counted as criminals as well and should immediately be deported without any right of appeal whatsoever. I think I would say that anyone who got their citizenship as a result of someone else who got theirs illegitimately should also be deported as well. Because that would apply to quite a lot of people. Like the person that enters an illegal immigrant was then given amnesty, was then given citizenship, and then began to import their relatives. That whole chain of people should then be delegitimized and denied and lose their citizenship as well. So I'm for like a massive program of deportations, probably affecting tens, hundreds of thousands of people, plus voluntary repatriation for a lot of others. This is a power struggle. I mean, this, you know, and I assume that the Tories are doing this. I mean, I assume it's similar to their so far only verbal response to the blatant illegal landings that are happening at Dover and on the Kent coast. You know, they say, yeah, we're going to start sending these people back. I assume this is basically scraps of red meat to their voters to say, no, look, we're batting a hard line. We sent 100 people back, we sent 100 people back there. And so, you know, to get us to ignore the hundreds of thousands that they're importing at the same time, albeit some of those won't be such bad people. But yeah, I'm in favour of pretty much any deportation. And also, I think we should be looking at the whole network. I intend to do a video on this at some point, but we should be looking at the whole network of people who work day and night, often, very often, with public money to inhibit deportation of these criminals and hostile foreign elements. I think that's the thing to go after as well, and place as much pressure on them as possible, because they are enemies. They're enemies of the British people. So I hand it back.
Jason, what are your thoughts on this, my friend? And can you draw any parallels between the insanity that's taking place in Britain today and what you see over there in the States?
My gosh, it is identical. It is identical all over the Western world, what we're seeing, because we have a unified anti-white victimizer, and that is why we have to have a unified white response to this. Psychological warfare, by the way, that's what all of this is, and that's why we have to have the psychological defense of going free. You mentioned a moment ago that, and I just had to say this, that you have people in the UK, nationalists, that believed that Germany wanted to conquer the UK and occupy the UK. Well, we can go one up on you in the United States. We have American nationalists here that actually believe that Germany had intended all along that Europe was just the stepping stone to conquering the United States. So that is how ass backwards these people are in their thinking. And that is why it is easy for them to be manipulated about such idiocies as Horst was just pointing out here, to say, well, we'll take these, for example, with Trump, we see the exact same thing. Well, he's going to snatch up the, what was it like 4 or 5 months ago? He's going to snatch up the 3,000 gang members. Actually didn't even end it up. The anti-white media went crazy over this 3,000 gang members that are illegally in the United States. They were going to be snatched up and deported. Who cares? They have millions coming in. But that is the kind of thing that is required to satisfy the idiots that think things like Germany intended to just Europe be a stepping stone to conquering the United States during that period in history. And of course, what's going to happen is Jamaican 50. How outrageous is this? Of course, these doctors and scientists and engineers and therapists and everything that they are just innately empowered and imbued to be able to do. Of course, they are doing the kinds of things that they're doing in our societies that should get them deported from our countries, because bottom line is they don't have the UK in their biosphere, so they can't participate in a way that is going to be effective or comfortable for us. They can participate in ways that is quite normal for them and ends up in things that we normally call crimes in our countries. But what are they going to say about these sorts of people? They're going to say, well, You can't send them back because they're going to be harmed if they go back. And you can't send them back because they're only bad because we made them bad. And you can't send them back because they probably have some non-white children somewhere that care about them. And those children are going to shed a tear. And then what's going to happen? We're going to see, just like we saw in not Way of the World's most recent video, but the one before that, we're going to have a bunch of white women wringing their hands and pulling their hair out over the fact that some non-white baby somewhere is going to be upset if some Jamaican rapist is sent back to the country whence he came, to the hell whence he came. But a bright woman, and I'll pass it right back, a bright woman reminded me just today about a subject that I used to talk about, and that is this. The anti-whites, of course, want to bring in these non-white people because they know that they can be reliably counted on to vote anti-white. Since these are democracies, it doesn't matter if you have that based one that's going to hang out with you at the Tommy rally, you fools. All that matters is what the majority of them are going to vote for. But it's not just the votes. This is one of the things that she reminded me I used to talk about. It's the soldiers. These people are coming, and a great many of them are going to be soldiers. I was in the military, and in the United States, and I assume it's the same way across the West, that they get their citizenship like this by becoming a soldier for 4 years or a soldier for 2 years. And so these people become soldiers. They hate you, and you've been deprived of your right to self-defense. You don't have a firearm. And Australia, our brothers and sisters there, aren't even allowed to have offensive belts for their jeans. But they're going to take these non-white anti-whites, put them in our military, put the latest weaponry in their hands. And those are the folks that are going to end up at your house telling you what you are going to do and what you're not going to do. So that is why they want to keep these kinds of people pouring into our civilizations. It's not about a policy that is going to slow this down or a policy that's going to send some of them back. This is about coming together as a single people on a global scale and saying to the anti-white bastards at the heads of our civilization, enough is enough. And with that, I pass it back to Mark Collett.
Mark, can I just add one thing as well?
Yeah, of course you can. Of course you can. You're the guest. You take it away.
just in case we move off this topic, I just wanted to add one that Laura Towler has done some great stuff in the last few days. It's generally related to this because one clip I saw today was Emily Thornberry arguing with some Tory MP. And the Tory MP was saying, it is right that these people are being deported. It's not even 50, not even 50 of them are being deported. But he started off his little monologue by praising the Windrush generation. And Laura Towler put out an excellent tweet yesterday with clippings from the Daily Express in 1948, showing that the myth upon which all this sort of sainthood status of the Windrush people has been based, the myth that they were invited here to fill a labour shortage, was all false. And I encourage everyone to look on her Twitter feed for that, because that's crucial evidence. That's really, really important stuff that I'd never seen before. And everyone should be passing that around and showing that to the whole country. So anyway, yeah, I'll pass it back.
Yeah, I just want to add something to that. I remember seeing somewhere, and I can't remember where it was, so I'm so sure somebody in the chat will correct this and give a link. But at the time when immigration started into the UK, the kind of mass immigration we're seeing today, newspapers said, oh, all of the fearmongers are completely ridiculous. These people aren't coming here to stay. They're only coming here temporarily to do jobs, earn some money, and when the jobs are completed, they'll all leave. This is absolute fearmongering, suggesting they're going to stay here, breed at a rapid rate, and then one day we'll lose our own nation. Stop with the nonsense. All these people want to do is earn a crust and go back home, and here we are, quite a few decades later, and the people who were branded fearmongers have been proved absolutely correct. And even back then, the press was calming fears about immigration with nothing but lies. But the other thing I wanted to talk about with the Windrush generation is I saw a lot of tweets, and I actually responded to one of them. It was the David Lammy tweet that I responded to. I gave a very short response. What did I say now? I think I said, I'll actually find it so I can bring it up. I just put, great news, now time to deport those involved in grooming gangs too. Because what David Lammy had said was, the government is deporting people who arrived in the UK as young as two, often for one-time drug offences. The lessons from Windrush have not been learned. Lives are being ruined because we don't remember our history. Indeed, lives are being ruined. The lives of thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of indigenous people in these islands are being ruined because of immigration. And the fact of the matter is, the Jamaica 50 shouldn't be a token gesture to the British people. This shouldn't be Boris's token nod to the patriots who voted for Brexit because they wanted to see an end to the criminal masses that are flooding our land. This should be the beginning. And the next step should be deporting those who are part of these grooming gangs who have absolutely been a blight on millions of lives all over the UK. And I want to say this now, absolutely categorically, that when Patriotic Alternative is fully up and running, we will keep applying to the Electoral Commission until they are forced to accept us as a party, because we have not broken any rules. But one of our policies will be that those residing in British jails who have committed offences will have their sentences commuted if they accept our repatriation deal. Because these people are costing us, I think on average, somewhere between £37,000 and £45,000 a year to sit in our jails, which are now overflowing. So we're having to let prisoners out early. And you know which ones they're going to let out early. It's not going to be the white guys who made a few, who may have made an error or got a little bit tipsy at an EDL march and said some naughty words. The people they'll be letting out earlier, the ones who pose a real threat to us and a real threat to our society. Well, Patriotic Alternative will offer them a way out. And that way out will be a one-way trip to the nearest airport where them and their family members can fly to somewhere a lot sunnier, where the music and where the music plays all day and the rum flows freely, but they will not be a blight on our country anymore. And we will empty our jails that way. Because I can tell you this now, for every criminal locked in one of our jails, costing us around £40,000 a year, every decade, that person costs us £400,000. And when you see the number of indigenous people on our streets sleeping rough, I could take those decade-long prison sentences and the money that's spent on them and put it to much, much better use, making life better for our people. And I hope people think that's a sensible policy. Now, Horace and Jason, do you have anything to add about the grooming gangs and the fact that this is actually a policy that shouldn't just be, you know, a little bit of a nod to the people who want this, but this should be the beginning of something much larger, and the next people to be targeted should absolutely be those who have committed sexual offences against our children.
Horace.
Hashtag start the deportations. This is what I'm getting at. It should be ordinary. I know that this would probably be perhaps too hardline a policy for a political party to take, but I think it should be ordinary for all criminals of foreign ancestry to be deported. I've got a little slogan about it. It's, the important thing is to whom you're born, not where you're born. And I would say it should be even done on the basis of ancestry. If you're of Pakistani ancestry, even though you're maybe third generation, if you raped a British girl, you should be deported. But I understand why a political party has to pitch somewhat differently from that. But I mean, I'm for pushing the hardest line on foreign, as I say, when I say foreign criminals, I mean criminals of foreign ancestry. So I'm for taking the hardest possible line, because I just find it like grossly offensive that they're in there. And of course, they are an enormous practical problem as well. We've got, I mean, prisons that are serving as Islamic recruiting centers now. It's insane. It's a ridiculous situation. So whatever we can do to reverse that is good.
It definitely shows that the conservatives or whoever they are, these different parties that ostensibly represent those of us who care about Western kind, Western civilization, that they are not serious parties. Because if they were serious parties, They would have legislation already written. It would be waiting on a shelf. And then as soon as you had an incident like this Jamaican 50, you would immediately go to the public and you would say, we have to pass this legislation to deport all of these people that are anything like this Jamaica 50, because let's take a look at the crime and the victims that these Jamaica 50 have caused or the grooming gangs have caused. And let's look at their victims. And are you going to vote against this legislation, even though these poor people have been harmed by it? To do so would be to victimize all of these rape victims again, to be victimize the murdered people, their family members that are living in their memory, to victimize, again, the people who have been assaulted and robbed by these people. So you dare not vote against this legislation that is going to move to prevent more people like this from having to experience rape, murder, etc. You would be an evil person to vote against this. That is how a serious party behaves. They don't wait around until something happens and then say, well, we'll throw you a little bread from the table, a little crumb from the table, and we'll just try to push these out. And maybe if we can get 20 of them, of the 50 pushed out, then we've done some good. Now, there's nothing serious about these people. They're serving handlers that want them to go in a completely different direction. And this is the sign of what someone does when they are, as an individual, fighting for their individual slot at the public trough. They want to just continue to energize their little voting base so that they'll vote for them again. They can make it back to the government and back to the trough, back in front of the cameras, back to that government stipend, whatever it may be, rather than actually effectuate change in the civilization. We have them all. This is the entire Republican Party in the United States. We have these people all over the West. That is all you're witnessing. Wait until you see them come out with a bill already written and ready to roll on the grounds of a rape victim or on the grounds of 50 rape victims, then you'll have a serious party. I pass it over to you, brother.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that. And I think that sort of wraps the first part of the show up, the first topic, should I say. Now, the second topic, I was going to talk a bit about HS2, which is the high-speed railway that Boris Johnson has just given the green light to. Now, I think that personally is a scandal. It's a complete waste of money. It's an excuse for the Tories to spend huge, huge sums of taxpayers' money on a service which will only benefit a very, very tiny portion of the population. And I'll give you an example why. When you look at train fares as they are today, say you were going from Leeds to Bristol, the cost of a train fare from Leeds to Bristol is about, for just a single ticket, is about £122. The same journey done on the Megabus is £20. Now, HS2 is only going to cost more money. It's going to be more expensive to use that train service. Well, trains are already out of the price range of normal people. This is going to be a vast, vast sum of money spent to keep the super rich at a level above us, because they'll all be on HS2. They'll all be enjoying their high-speed rail travel. They'll all be zipping around the country. Because to them, I mean, if a train ticket to Bristol from Leeds is £120, what's it going to be by high-speed rail? What are the high-speed rail prices going to be? A lot more. Totally out of our price range. This isn't about creating jobs. This is about creating a way for the super rich, the privileged class, the ones that look down on us, to basically travel around the country in separate trains with a better level of service at a higher speed. And it's not going to create anything good for the masses. And at this point in time, it's the normal British people who need something giving back. Now, I'm just going to wrap that take up there, because there's something a little bit more important come up in, unless Horace has anything to add about HS2, but I wanted to go into the Scandinavian Airlines scandal. Now, I haven't seen Way of the World's video on this, so I had a little bit of a preview of it while Jason and Horace were talking. Now, I don't think I have ever seen an advert, and there might be ones out there because I'm always willing to be surprised, but I don't think I've seen an advert before that is so blatantly anti-white and so desperate to denigrate the country that the company that is commissioning the advert comes from. Now, the Scandinavian Airlines advert starts with a absolutely horrendous message. The advert asks, what is truly Scandinavian? Now, at this point, you see two blonde girls in traditional Scandinavian dress, and one is plaiting the other's hair. Then you see a mother kissing her child by a birthday cake with lots of little Swedish flags on it. Then you see some meatballs, and they're pouring gravy over them, because everyone knows that in Sweden you have meatballs. So you're thinking, well, what is Scandinavian? And the answer is then forthcoming. Absolutely nothing. The narrator tells us that nothing is Scandinavian. And basically, you can guess what happens for the rest of the advert now. It is an attack on Sweden. It is an attack on the Scandinavian nations. It is an attack on the European people and our culture. And I think it's important to talk a bit about this. And I'm totally not trying to steal Way of the World's Thunder, because he's just done an excellent video on this. Now, I haven't watched the video, but I know it's excellent because he produced it. So I suggest after the show, if you want to hear some great commentary on that, go to Way of the World's channels. All his videos are incredible. But the fact is, this sort of goes hand in hand with the Jamaica 50 issue. And people will be saying, well, how does it? How does it go hand in hand with the Jamaica 50 issue? The Jamaica 50 issue is about deporting migrants. And this is about denigrating European culture. This is about attacking the Scandinavian people. It's about attacking those of European descent. And that's exactly why the Jamaica 50 issue and the Scandinavian Airlines advert go hand in hand. It's why they're all part and parcel of the same thing. Because the idea that millions of migrants should come here, the idea that criminals of migrant descent should have the human right to remain here, and the idea that European people don't have a culture, the idea that we stand for absolutely nothing, that we don't have traditions, that we don't have heritage, and the idea that Europe was always multicultural and those of European descent have nothing special or unique about them. All of that's tied together because all of it is driven by one thing and one thing alone. And that is the vicious anti-white hatred that pours forth from our enemies, that pours forth from those that want to see us replaced. And I think this advert, in many ways, is perfect. And I don't mean it's perfect because I like it. I mean it's perfect because it absolutely encapsulates just how much contempt, how much hatred these liberals have for us. And you see that not only in adverts, but in immigration policy, in their defense of migrants who have committed criminal acts, in their defense and their complicity of the grooming gangs and their horrific crimes against British girls. And you can see a pattern forming here. And as I said earlier, this pattern stems from one thing, and that is a vicious hatred of us, of those of European descent. And everything they push, whether it's this advert, whether it's the migration policies, whether it's the refusal to deport these people and to grant them human rights, it's all aimed at one thing, ultimately, breaking us down mentally, physically, putting us through the meat grinder so that we will be lost, we'll be beaten down, we'll be atomized, we'll be isolated, we hate ourselves, we think nothing of ourselves, we see ourselves as second-class citizens, so that ultimately, as we are replaced, they're hoping that we don't fight back because we're too broken. And this is all part of the same plan to destroy us. And watching this advert, it used to be the kind of thing that would make my blood boil. It used to be the kind of thing that would get my heart racing and make me so angry. But now, when I see these things, I have a little bit of a wry grin on my face. I think, yeah, you guys are pushing the envelope too far. There's going to be millions of normal people that see that advert and see exactly what these people are up to. There's going to be millions of normal people that are going to go, you know what? This is garbage. I'm not using Scandinavian Airlines, and I'm not buying any of their anti-European garbage. And really, these people are doing us a favor when they push the envelope this far, because they're going to wake up millions of normies to the message of we will not be replaced, to the message of white well-being, to the message that we are putting forward. So for that, I would really like to thank Scandinavian Airlines. Oris, Jason, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I really like the last bit of what you said, that we're seeing they're pushing things too far and too fast, and it's as though they believe that they're absolutely guaranteed a victory. And like, in case that begs the question, victory in what? I mean, they are consciously fighting a war against their very existence. There's no doubt about it now. I mean, this is not only an attempt to deny that we exist, but it's an attempt to deny that we ever did. Right? They want it to be the case that in 100 years, if we've been reduced to 10 or 20% of our own homelands, that all our history would have been rewritten. That's what they're looking for. But just about this company in particular, I noticed that the two biggest shareholders of SAS Group are the Swedish and the Danish states. So this is directly the actual state attacking the notion that their own people exist. I mean, could there be anything more blatantly treasonous? It's almost unbelievable. If someone from 100 years ago was shown that this is what the future would be like, apart from like disgusted, they'd also just be bemused. They'd hardly be able to accommodate it, right? Because what a strange way for things to go. What a strange course for European history to take. But I like what you said at the end, because the more ordinary people are outraged by this, I mean, the more chance there is of the great stirring of racial consciousness that we really need to foster. And I don't know if these traitors and communists and anti-white criminals have ever really encountered European people whose eyes are open. And they may find that it's something that they're not prepared to reckon with. And like, it's not a Christian thing, but I'm not a Christian anyway, but it's, you know, we have ideas of vengeance. I won't go any further than that, but people are not going to be allowed to get away with this. If we win the fight, people are not going to be allowed to get away with that. Anyway, I'll hand it to Jason.
Thank you, brother. When I saw this, I was both furious and delighted, because I absolutely, just as Mark was saying, when I saw that they were coming openly, and this is, it's the hubris. It is, they are coming, greater to greater and greater levels of appreciation of the power that they actually wield. And that means a couple important things. The anti-white narrative is constructed on the basis of there being this oppressive white power in the world, these white people that are holding all of them down. And that, holding all of the non-white peoples down, white anti-whites down, and that is what gives them a moral legitimacy to defend themselves. So it crumbles, it reduces and undermines their ability to fight us, as well, to inflict this injury on us, as well as waking up a great many millions, scores of millions of our people who otherwise are easily deceived, because we have some sort of bizarre gullibility sewn into us genetically. Non-white peoples don't have it. It's just there for us. Maybe it had something to do with living in the cold environment and having to get along and believe the other person's story. But we have this innate gullibility. And it takes the thief actually going through the home in front of many white people to realize that the thief is actually a thief, especially for our women, who are wonderful, the best women in the world, but they are easily manipulated, a great many of them, not all, of course, but a great many of them, by simply saying, look at the victimization of this group. And they for some reason, it's like a laser beam. They can't see their own people when they are focused on the non-white children, or they're focused on the non-white guy or the non-white woman who's having a hard time getting ahead. And so they have to rally like fanatical, just man-hating fanatics, I guess. I'll just leave it there and not get any worse. And they come screaming, these harridans and shrews, they come screaming about the harm being done to these groups while their own civilization, their own people, their own children are being reduced to ashes by anti-whiteism. So I was infuriated as well, though, because any harm inflicted on our people, and what I think about when I see something like this, is not an adult white person seeing this absolutely demonic anti-white ad, but I think about white children who are going to be seeing adults, professionals, people running companies, saying to these children, you're really nothing. Nothing comes from you. You are a nobody. You are a zero. You're non-existent. Because they are going to hate themselves for it, and they're going to want to escape who and what they are. And how do they do that? Well, the principal way, of course, is to take a non-white mate and have non-white children. That's the principal way they escape who and what they are. In this ad, they say that all of the Scandinavian peoples, and by connection there, it is all white people. All they do is thieve from the world. And in this commercial, they add a couple of countries in there that are European. But you know damn well and good that if you were to then ask these same anti-whites, well, where did those particular items in those countries come from? They wouldn't say that white people were the source of those things. They would say, well, the original part of this idea came from this non-white country, and the original part of that idea came from that non-white country. So when they say all white people are thieves, and occasionally they thieve from other white thieves out there in the world. This, ladies and gentlemen, I tweeted about it. This is the anti-white narrative. There's no arguing with them on this issue. Do not fall into the trap of trying to cite things that we have invented. 95% of all inventions, discoveries, creations are credited to Western kind, and all people know this in the world. This is all lies that we have stolen everything. It is part of the anti-white narrative, and you will never win inside of that narrative. If you get sucked into citing some things, you'll end up proving their point, because you're only going to be able to cite 1, 2, 10 things that a particular European country has invented. And then what is that? That's only 10 things. You end up proving that nothing has come from the country. You can take any of our countries, and there will be tens of millions of inventions and discoveries and creations. And yes, you will be able to pick out a here and there things that were adopted and adapted for their country, sometimes from other white brothers and sisters, perhaps sometimes from other places around the world. Interestingly enough, though, when these anti-whites want to cite creations in non-white countries, they have to go back to antediluvian times. And by the way, when you go back to antediluvian times, they dig up the red and blonde-haired mummies from those times. So it's an interesting fact that when they want to cite the creations from those countries, it's always back to antiquity, the dawn of time, when the mummies happen to have red hair, blonde hair, and they do the DNA test and they say, well, they're more European than they actually are of this particular group. So this is all about undermining us. I'm going to say this. Thank God, yes, that the anti-whites are absolutely drunk, maudlin with this hubris of their domination over civilization. Because as I say, not only is it so blatant now that even the most benighted, just woman stuck in the nursery room caring for children, whether she had children or not, then and she's constantly going to the defense of non-whites around planet Earth, even she is going to be able to see that this is all about erasing our people from existence by saying that we never existed, nothing there to delete, nothing there to expunge, because it was never there. As I said, they'll say about our people, once they have white erased us from South Africa, the same will hold true everywhere. But it also undermines the anti-white narrative in a great many ways, as I started off listing. But here's the thing that I think the next step that we should take as a people, and I'll pass it over to Mark, and that's this. Every single person who works for SAS needs to be considered complicit in this garbage. So when I'm next at the airport and I see the employees of that company, I'm going to go up and politely say to them that I know that they are not necessarily representative of this anti-white position, but they are nonetheless complicit in this anti-white garbage. This is the kind of force that we need to exert in a greater presence all over the globe, so that anti-whites have fewer and fewer of our people to use in their anti-white erasure. Let the next SAS person that you meet at the airport know that you despise anti-whiteism, you despise that company's efforts to white erase our people, and you consider that individual as complicit in those efforts if they're going to wear that uniform and represent that company. And I pass it back.
Horace, do you have any thoughts on this before we close this topic and we move on?
No, I look forward to watching Where the World's World's video on it, because he's always good. I guess you asked before about the HS2 thing, just about that. I would just say a few words to people. Look into the fact that it's already into the over £100 billion now. Just look at the Millennium Dome, I think the Dartford Bridge, the rebuilding of Wembley, the rebuilding of the stadium in Cardiff, and Crossrail. Every one of those has had the same thing. It starts off being cited as one thing, or the Olympics as well, starts off being cited as one figure and ends up something like five times as much. It's obviously a boondoggle. They do the same with local housing developments as well. It's obviously politicians being promised rewards that they'll get once they've quit their political jobs and getting it for diverting huge rivers of public, of taxpayers' cash to certain companies. That's what HS2 is. But yeah, about the SAS thing, these people are traitors. And I agree with Jason, it's very like profitable just to put some verbal pressure, I mean politely, but some verbal pressure on the people who work for these companies. They are complicit at some level, just as we all are in the organizations that we work for. You can't completely absolve yourself. So yeah, I agree with him on that.
Yeah, and I just want to be very, very clear about the Scandinavian Airlines issue. That advert, I said earlier, I think this is going to wake people up. Now, I did a quick poll on Entropy. We also do polls on Entropy, which allow people to vote on issues. And I said, is the SAS advert going to wake people up? And we've had a few votes on that. And the majority said yes, but some people said no. And that surprises me, because when you go over to the Scandinavian Air Services advert, you actually see 130,000 people have watched the advert. 1,427 have liked the advert, and 35,686 have disliked the advert. Now, there are cases where smaller channels get sort of either review bombed, or people go over there and, you know, add a couple of hundred likes and it to make a point. But this isn't the case of a couple of hundred likes or dislikes. This is over 35,000 people disliking this advert. This isn't just us. This is a huge number of normies who are absolutely appalled by this. So I think these things do have a powerful effect. They wake people up. And ultimately, our enemies are showing their hand just a little bit too much at the moment. And I'd like to thank them for doing that, because we need our people to wake up. We need the Western folk to see what's happening before it's too late. And the more subtly they do things, the more likely they are to succeed. It's a bit like boiling a frog, isn't it? If you turn the heat up too quickly or throw the frog into boiling water, he jumps out, he panics. But if you slowly turn the heat up and you make it very gradual, so he gets comfy first and then he just starts to sweat a bit, eventually you boil him and he doesn't complain. And I think this is a case of them turning up the heat far, far too quickly. Anyway, that brings us to the end. Oh, there's one other thing I want to say about HS2, high-speed rail. That's a scandal, how much countryside, how much destruction that's going to cause as well. The people behind this, again, we often talk about issues that refer to demographics, that refer to immigration, but the people doing this HS2 project, they should be held in the same kind of regard as the people pushing mass immigration, they are going to absolutely rape the British countryside just so the super rich have a new and more expensive way to travel around. It's disgusting.
And we live in a time when it's never been easier to work remotely as well. There's less and less reason to travel for work all the time. And then they're doing this.
Indeed, that's a very good point. And when you think about it, if they actually wanted, in today's world, you don't need to be around the boardroom table. You don't need to produce huge numbers of people and sit them all in a room to have a conference. I've been on numerous conferences that use Skype. I mean, it's nice to be in the same room as people, but the fact is, as you say, business can be done remotely and much more effectively now with use of high-speed fiber optic broadband. This is just, and as I said, it's an excuse for the rich to be further cocooned away from normal people. Because remember, when you're on one of those packed trains, when you're on, you know, the megabus and you're facing off against, how can we say it, people have been brought here to enrich us. It's not going to be that pleasant, but I can assure you, people traveling on HS2 will not face the same levels of diversity and enrichment as normies traveling on other modes of public transport. Isn't it amazing how these people insulate themselves in ivory towers? And I suppose HS2 is going to be one very swift moving and very plush mobile ivory tower for those who don't want to live with the results of their multicultural insanity. So let's move on to the super chats. The first super chat is from Serena JB. Thank you very much. £5. And she asks or says, it's good to see so many quality people like Horace coming into our movement. I saw on Twitter that the next UK census could be the last one. It seems obvious why that would be. What's your opinion on this? Well, I'll start on this because I saw this question and I wanted to check that I was correct with the issues of the census. Now, they are very woolly on exact figures, but they do say that 13% of the people living in the UK were not actually born here. Then there are people living in the UK who are also not white British. So by very conservative estimates, you would say that about now in Britain, those who are identified as white British make up probably at very most 85% of the population. Now, that's a very important figure. And I might actually ask Laura to look into this because Laura is our resident statistician and all-round number-crunching genius. Because the last census took place in 2011. So the next one will take place in 2021, next year. And that will be very, very interesting. Because let's take the 85% figure, 85% white British. And if by 2011, it has dropped to 75% or even 70%, that will be, oh, Laura has already corrected me. I stand corrected. Thank you, Laura. I didn't actually see you in the chat tonight, but it's that's a speedy response. Our queen of statistics has corrected me. It was around 82% of people in Britain were identified as white British at the last census. Now, one little caveat to that, and Laura could probably tell me if I'm wrong or not on this issue, is that number may well be overinflated as well. And the reason I say that is because the people that fill out the census are law abiders. They are people who are here legally. They are people who are meant to be here, who have passports, etc. People who don't fill out the census are people who are involved in criminality, migrants, people who have come here, maybe fleeing troubles they've got into other countries that don't want to be found. So there may well be the issue that 82% is a high watermark, and it might actually be somewhere nearer 80% when you take into account illegal immigrants and people who are here that aren't meant to be here. And also, there is also the fact that obviously the census is more likely to be filled out by people who speak English, by people who are invested in the system. I can't imagine that every single member, what I'm saying is I can imagine that white people who are identified as white British are more likely to fill out the census than people who maybe have been born here, but are not white British. So I think it's skewed in our favour. And Laura has just corrected me again, or updated me, should I say, to say it doesn't include the 1.2 million illegals for a start. So we're talking maybe 80 to 82% of the population is white British at this point. So by 2021, it's going to be very interesting to see what the shift in that is and how far it has shifted against us, how much further it's gone in the favour of us being replaced and becoming a minority. Because from that, we will have an accurate gauge, or a much more accurate gauge, of how quickly the replacement is taking place. Because at last estimate, demographers said that we'd be a minority in Britain by 2060. And that may well be a very conservative estimate, because if we are 80, 82% now, and it ends up dropping, I don't know, to about 70%, maybe even high 60s, maybe even middle 60s, that would be something that would suggest that we could well be a minority by the late 2030s, early 2040s, and the 2060 number could well be actually wishful thinking. We've always used that to say, you know, wow, we're going to be a minority pretty soon, but that could end up being wishful thinking. So, Horace, what are your thoughts on this? Do you think this will be the last census? Do you think they'll stop telling us? And what do you think is, or what do you think are, the results of the next census going to look like?
Yeah, this story that's emerged in the last day or two, I think it's kind of a repeat of, I'd looked into this about a year ago, and this has been mooted for quite a long time. I think one person who's especially driving the cause of stopping censuses was Francis Maud, who's like a Tory leftist, really. And that goes back since not long after the last census. I mean, there is some practical reasons for it, in the things you said, that like certain people are far more likely to respond to it than others. I think maybe they do still intend to have something equivalent, but a rolling thing. I'm not really sure, but so it's not necessarily the bombshell that it appears at first. But also, we know that the Tories and the whole of the rest of the political class don't want us to develop a nationalist consciousness, right? I expect them to mess with the results of this one anyway. I'm not saying they'll necessarily cheat, because I mentioned that prospect on a stream that Simon Harris and I did with Ralph Masilamani, and he said the process by which the census is reported on is carried out under proper parliamentary oversight. So it may be that we do get accurate results insofar as is possible. But you can bet your house that the BBC and the whole rest of the media and the whole anti-white front in general will be trying to they will have preparations in place already to present the results of the census in whatever way can do most to demoralize our people and to make us believe that our minoritization and dispossession is inevitable, and that it's completely pointless for us to fight, and that it's extremist for us to fight. And obviously we as nationalists should be doing the exact opposite. We should be, I believe it will be about 2 years from now, maybe even a bit more, before the actual results come out. We should be beginning now, I think, to have meetings to strategize over this and to see how we can make the most of it, because we obviously want it to be a bombshell, right? We want it to be a triggering event. So, I mean, my thoughts are, like, everyone start pooling ideas, you know. How can we use this to raise nationalist consciousness? Especially as it's not too late for us. I mean, in America, it seems like it is too late to prevent minority status, although, as Richard Spencer has argued, that's not the end of our story by any means. I mean, as we see from certain other like hostile tribes, that it is possible to rule to a large extent as a small minority. So we you know, our fight will not be over. And if we're reduced to say 40%, if 20 or 30% of us are highly active and conscious, we could still be a ruling force. We could even reverse the tide. So I would say also, do not allow yourself to be demoralized. But that said, like in the medium term, in the next 5 to 10 years, we still, well, I don't know, it's very urgent, but in the next few years, we still have a chance to prevent our minority, our minoritization happening. And I'm sure that is the aim of everyone listening to this right now. So I would just say, you know, our strategy will adapt as things change, but we still have a chance to reverse this. In my opinion, that means most of all fighting the Tories, who are in, they're standing in the place where there should be a patriotic party. And that's what my channel is all about. So I'll hand it back.
Jason, do you have any thoughts on the British census?
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be like the censuses that are taking place all around the West. And the smart way to do this, and of course, the anti-whites might not be able to do it the smart way anymore, because they have implemented diversity, which means they get rid of competent people in favor of those who are specific races on the basis of race. But the smart way to do this would be to just continue to play around with the definitions of what is this and what is that, and make it so complex that it becomes impossible to read for the average person and impossible to explain by an intelligent person to the average person. But I have no doubt that they will clumsily handle it in some cases, and otherwise brilliantly handle it in others. And of course, the intent is that the house is on fire, and this is about perception. So the anti-whites want to continue to convince you that the house isn't on fire, and that in fact it isn't burning down at all. You've had nothing to worry about until it's too late. But I say that with a, I guess, a grain of salt, because we have these conversations about minority status and counting heads as though the majority of white people are concerned with the well-being of our people. Nothing could be further from the truth. We are in a defeated state. We are now fighting in all of the various ways that are lawful to fight to regain and recapture our destiny. It doesn't, we are in minority status. How many white people actually care about white people? How many white people actually will work against our well-being? More would do so because it's in their self-interest to do so, because on numerous levels, financially, because they'll see themselves as moral by the anti-white narrative. So we are already in a position to have to fight as the underdog, which, by the way, is a very important place to be when it comes to our own story, because that appeals to our people. Just like I was talking about a moment ago, when the whole anti-white narrative gains the majority of its power from non-whites in particular being the victims of this white overruling class, that of course is not the case. And that's being demonstrated increasingly by the anti-whites, and thereby undermining their own sand castle that they've built with each wave of their propaganda that washes up on the beach. More and more of that foundation of what they need for their story is disappearing. Meanwhile, we, ladies and gentlemen, are writing our story. We are pinning every single line right now. And one of the things we have to pin into that story is the reality that we indeed are the underdogs. We indeed are fighting to reclaim what is rightfully ours. And that, my friends, will motivate our best and even our worst members to their absolute maximum. And that is something the world has never been able to contend with. And that is the brilliance, intelligence, courage, integrity, and fierceness of Western man who has said enough is enough. Back to you, brother.
Excellent. Thank you. Very, very well said there. Irish Rose gave £10. Thank you very much. She said, great to see the British government deport criminals. There has to be justice for the Rotherham girls next. I agree. And all the other girls in all the other towns. Grisatessen gave $5. If I pronounced that wrong, I'm sorry, but thank you for the donation. Said, about the SAS scandal, their commercial received about 13,000 dislikes within 24 hours compared to the 200 likes. And now all the MSM, as in mainstream media, is portraying it as a Russian troll attack. Every time we react to woke capital or political madness, it's a Russian op. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me, but it is good that so many normies are rebelling against this. And the fact is, if they keep saying this is a Russian troll attack, sooner or later, people will start looking to Vladimir Putin and the Russian government as heroes, because you know, if they're saying that Russia stand against this madness, they're only going to drive people into the arms of Russians. HM gave $3 and said the conservatives are not our friends. Agreed. But every time they do something we like, even if it's very small, it is very important we loudly applaud them. Now, this is a very important issue. And I agree, actually, because at the moment, the Liberals are going absolutely spare about the Conservative government, just as the Democrats do about Donald Trump in America. Yeah. And it's only going to be a matter of time before the Antifa mob and before these crazed leftist loons start physically attacking Conservatives and actually doing terrible things to Conservative Party leafleters and candidates. And that will be something that may well play in our favour. Now, the Conservatives are not at this present time ready to outlaw groups like Antifa or ready to come down harshly, on the leftist hate mobs that plague us and our meetings. Because obviously, the Conservatives want these tools of the state to operate to smash us. Mm-hmm. However, wouldn't it be very interesting if Antifa did start to target Conservatives and got themselves banned? And that is a very real prospect. So I agree. I think whenever the Conservatives do something we agree with, we should loudly applaud this and rightfully so take some of the credit for pushing the Overton window and the Conservatives in our direction. I mean, do either of you guys have any thoughts on this?
I think it's very notable that Tories don't get attacked by Antifa, and I think that's because, I mean, Antifa quite consciously draw the line of acceptability just beyond where the Tories are, between them and us. I think that is quite conscious and quite intelligent from their point of view, because the Tories do serve them. They do what they want. They are reducing us. They are, you know, they have us on course to become a minority, which is what Antifa is all about. It's what it's always been about. So I think it's no surprise, and I don't expect them to start doing so for exactly that reason. The Tories essentially serve them. And I don't intend, I mean, I'm open to persuasion, but I don't intend to start giving the Tories praise for anything, because I think anything they're doing is just throwing us red meat to keep us pacified. Yeah. So I disagree on that, but, you know, maybe I can be persuaded. Maybe. What do you think, Jason?
I would just echo what an amalgamation of what you two said. So I'll just go ahead and pass it back, rather than we can get on to the next question.
Okay. Street Soldier UK gave £10. Thank you very much. And said, we need to move to the next level now, as it seems racist to say it's okay to be white. So we need to push, is it okay to be white? We made the statement, so now the question. Well, actually, I think we should just stick with the question. Stick with the statement. I don't think we need to deviate at all. I think we should still be just saying it's okay to be white. We need to make a positive civil rights movement for the indigenous people of these islands. And one of our battle cries should be, we will not be replaced. And the other should be, it's okay to be white. And when we have patriotic alternative leaflets, I will be getting them checked with a solicitor first, of course. I think one of our leaflets should simply be, it's okay to be white, on one side. Then on the back, a short rundown of the outrage and anti-white bile that statement causes. Because I think that's one of our greatest recruiters. Because when you see local papers saying, hideous racist posters seen round local town, and all it says is, it's okay to be white, again, that wakes up the normies. What do you guys think on the It's Okay to Be White campaign? Should we change it or should we stick to it?
I think It's Okay to Be White is one of the cleverest things that's ever come out of our movement. And it's so simple when you look back at it. But whoever came out with that, I can't give them enough credit. And on that, in that vein as well, enormous respect to 100 Handers at the moment, who not only were already doing good work, but last week they stepped it up. And the BBC, BBC Look East, the regional BBC program, actually read out a 10 or 10 second statement from 100 Handers. I'd just say anything you can do to support 100 Handers work is great. It's all profit right now. It's just brilliant. They're doing great work. And it's okay to be white. It's the perfect slogan. I or someone I know did a mock Guardian headline the other day, and it just said, you can imagine, you know, the Guardian headline style, right? It said, of course it's okay to be white, but only a white supremacist would say so. Because that is the current position of the anti-white front, ridiculous as it is. That is the line that they're nailing at the moment. So, yeah. So I'll hand it back.
I like both. It's okay to be white and no white guilt for various reasons. But I'll pass it on to Mark so we can get on to the next question.
Okay. Supernova 808 gave £3. Thank you very much and said, great show. I enjoy reading Oswald Mosley. I recently found the New British Union site run by Gary Rakes, ex-BNP. The site has a prominent link to patriotic alternative thoughts. Well, thank you to the New British Union for linking to us. I know Gary Rakes. I've known him for a long time. He was the BNP organiser for Scotland. We always got on very well. Obviously, there are other nationalist groups in the UK as well as patriotic alternative. And we are not necessarily opposed to different groups. I think the New British Union is a group that is very interested in, obviously, the British Union from the 1930s and talking about Oswald Mosley. Thank you for linking to us, guys, and you know, all the best with what you do. The Thin Red Line gave $10. Thank you very much. And said, SAS was created with taxpayer money and is still partly owned by the Scandinavian government. Boycott SAS. Thank you very much. We said that earlier, and yes, I agree. Pat Lear gave £10. Thank you very much, and said £1.5 billion plus for HS2, but no more census because it's just too expensive. Why do you think they are ending the UK census? Well, we've already dealt with that. They're ending it because they don't want us to know when we are going to meet our demise. But thank you very much for the super chat. Mark Hooper gave £25 and said, the reason our history and culture can be written off as non-existent is because we are immersed in it. We live and breathe it. It's like asking a goldfish what the water is like. The goldfish replies, what water? Now, that's a very interesting point. Do you think there is a degree of complacency from the British people or from European people because we are immersed in our own culture, so don't really notice it until maybe we move to another country or until it's gone altogether? Or do you think there's something more to that? Because I've heard that argument before, and I do think it holds some water. But I also think, obviously, there is a concerted effort to remove our culture and dispossess us. What are your thoughts, Horace?
Yeah, I think it's very true that we are inclined to take for granted that we're much the same as the rest of humanity. And actually, there are different races, and race is real and very important, and, you know, denotes very important differences. The first time I went to the Far East and I came back, it made me reflect on our culture anew with great appreciation. I enjoyed myself visiting another place, but I knew it wasn't my home. But also the other thing, what the questioner just said, you know, I think it is a particularly European thing, and I mean like racially European, so including Australia and America and that, to project universalism and non-racism onto other people when in fact those are European traits, like you know, trying to imagine that everyone's the same, and it's helping us destroy ourselves at the present time. It's really something we need to try and erode. So yeah, it's got to get away from that.
Ethan, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, the issue is when it comes to one's culture, first of all, you have our people growing up in our countries from cradle to grave. They are being infected with meme pathogens that tell them their people have created nothing, they've done nothing. Of course, all evil things, but nothing positive. And so it's a combination of not having a frame of reference, being that you are the fish in water, and two, learning over the totality of your life that your people have created nothing. I mean, can we not see this SAS commercial that just came out? You've done nothing. You've created nothing. You're just thieves. You know, we were all learning either directly, and I know that I learned when I was younger by way of news and entertainment, media and education, public schooling and private schooling, that we were thieves, that we just went around the world stealing all of our ideas from everybody else. I wonder how we got the ideas for the boats, though. That was one of my questions back in high school. If we stole everything that we have now, where did we steal the idea for the boats to sail around the world? But of course, the anti-white teachers and professors, they couldn't answer those questions. But ultimately, it comes down to a frame of reference. You don't know what you're in until you are out of it. You don't know that you are feeling the harmony. In fact, I was just having this conversation during the IRL the other day, that when you are at a bar, you're at a pub, you're at a restaurant, and everyone is white, you don't recognize that feeling of harmony that you feel by your biospirit as a Westman in the presence of other Westmen. You don't realize it until you get to a bar or a pub or a restaurant where nobody has your biospirit because they're all a different race. And then you realize how uncomfortable that environment feels to you. And now, of course, a great many of anti-whites, they want to embrace the discomfort. They want to embrace the ugliness that they feel in it. This is as you see anti-white white artists who embrace the antithesis of their biospirit within them as something beautiful. The darkness becomes for them something beautiful. And so, yeah, it's the frame of reference. And that is the reason why people have a hard time saying that they don't know what white culture is. This is what I'm going to give you all to say from now on, because everybody has such a difficult time of articulating. I could seriously list 100 different things that are aspects of Western country right now, Western civilization right now, but I'm not going to do it. Instead, I'm going to tell you all how to respond, because the purpose of what Mark and I do is we want to empower all of you. We want you to be better so that you go out in the world and you're able to spread white well-being. And that is this: you say to someone when they say, what's white culture? There's Japanese culture. We know what that is. There's Jewish. We know what that is. What's white culture? Simply say it is the innumerable norms, the innumerable norms that you take for granted. And then you'd walk away from that conversation, because anybody saying that there's no white culture is not a friend of yours. I pass it over to my dear leader.
Thank you very much. The next super chat is from Steve Ben Bob. He gave $4. Thank you very much. And said, great that you have brought Horace to your platform. His material is remarkably well researched, but his channel is criminally undersubscribed. Well, there you have it. I couldn't echo that more. He is a great man. Please go and sub his channel. It certainly deserves it. And basically, subscribe to his BitChute as well. Because the thing is, a channel as good as Horace's channel is the kind of channel that we know the YouTube censors would love to remove. So I can say, please, please make sure that you also have us on BitChute. Don't just leave it. Please don't just leave it to a YouTube sub, because that is the way you may well end up sort of losing touch with many, if not all, of your favorite content creators. So that's
my subscriber count on BitChute is my real one. You know, that's the one I know that I've got for good. My YouTube one is just like the imaginary one, you know, because one day they're just going to shut me down, I think.
But yeah, well, okay. Please, let's get his BitChute and YouTube up tonight. Come on. Let's have a drive for Horace.
Eric, yeah, thank Drake, you.
Not a problem, my friend. Eric Drake gave £3. Thank you very much. And said, why the name Horace? Very informative and enjoyable stream. Thank you. Yeah, why did you choose the name Horace? Obviously, I used the War Master from 40K today. I wanted a picture of him with that big talon looking very menacing, but I couldn't find one from the right angle. So that's what I used. But why did you choose the name Horus? Was it anything to do with 40K, or was it about Egypt?
No, I loved 40K when I was a kid, but it wasn't that. Maybe I should change it. But no, it was literally, it's inane. I just thought that the Eye of Horus symbol was cool, and I just thought I'd have that. I just couldn't think of anything at the time, and so that was it. Yeah, sorry, it's a crap story, I know, but
yeah, that is a bit of a disappointing. Actually, while we were talking, I've just done a search and found the picture I actually wanted to find with his huge talon up in the air. For anyone who likes 40K, you don't know what I'm talking about. He's a cool but tragic character. And if it wasn't for Horus, the game wouldn't exist in terms of the story.
And the story of the Horus Heresy is a great story. It's a really thrilling story. I love it.
It is, and the interesting thing with the Horus Heresy and the sort of the end of it and how it sort of concludes is at the very end, it's quite sad because he was obviously so loved by his father. And in the last moments of his life, he realizes what a horrific mistake he's made and that his father loved him all along. And the whole thing has just been one giant folly. And then, in fact, he wasn't actually the free-willed, free-thinker he thought he was, but he was being played all along. So it's quite a tragic end for a man who had done so many great deeds, but ultimately caused so many horrible problems and brought such pain, mainly to the people he loved. It's a fantastic story. So if you like proper sci-fi, not woke sci-fi, but proper sci-fi,
this is why Morgoth has started getting into Warhammer recently, and he's remarked on just the relentless horror of it. And of course, the slogan, at least when I was into it, was in the grim darkness of the far future, there is only war, and that's it. And that's what you get.
In the grim darkness of the 41st millennium,
that's so true.
And there's that amazing video that Morgoth was talking about on YouTube. Somebody's made an entire fan film. Like, and when I say film, I don't mean like 15 minutes long. It's like 2 hours long. It's a proper film called Hell's Reach, which is a story that they've animated from the Warhammer 40,000 universe. So if you want good sci-fi, you want genuinely moving, powerful, masculine fantasy, Hell's Reach, a Warhammer 40K story, is absolutely superb. And yeah, it's brilliant. And there's some great channels there. I mean, maybe one time, PWR is something a bit different, but I've always wanted, and if Patriotic Alternative really takes off and I end up being absolutely full-time political and I can afford to do that, I would absolutely love to do a cultural show every week where we talked, you know, games, movies, comics, 40K, fitness, health, all sorts of things, all sorts of pastimes, cultural influences, because it is important that we let our hair down. But if you are going to let your hair down and enjoy something, at least let it be something that you're not sat there gritting your teeth with anger when they shoehorn in all their sort of woke influences and rubbish. But yeah, 40K, fantastic. Anyway, the next super chat, Daniel Lewis, thank you very much. He gave £20. Very generous. Thank you. Lawrence Scott gave £100. Again, very generous. Thank you very much. No questions from either of those, but thank you very much. Fraulein Dresden gave $10. Thank you. And said a small token of my appreciation for your poignant work. Thank you, Mark. Kisses for baby Sophia. And yes, the update on baby Sophia. She is now more than 6 months old. She's starting to develop a lovely little personality. And she's incredible. Now, last night, we cooked her. Well, I cooked her because I do quite a lot of the cooking in the house. I cooked fajitas for tea. And I always like fajitas because they're quite easy to cook. And you sort of make them up as you go around the table. And we've just started baby-led weaning. So she's beginning to eat her own sort of solids. Now, she doesn't really eat them. She sort of mashes them up and tastes them. And when she doesn't like them, she's a bit like a mini Caesar. She holds out the food at arm's length that she doesn't like and sort of drops it like that ceremoniously on the floor when she's had enough. But last night, she's got a little wooden dish with compartments. So I carefully laid out a little bit of avocado, a little bit of seasoned chicken, a little bit of the fajita, a little bit of cheese, a little bit of lettuce, a little bit of tomato. So she had a bit of everything that you would need to make a fajita. And I thought, oh, this is going to be really, really good. And I made the mistake of sticking it, because you stick this plate to the high chair so she can't toss the entire plate off the high chair. And as we tried to lower into the high chair, I have never seen her so excited. She grabbed this little wooden plate and we had to sort of tear it from her grasp because we hadn't even put a bib on at this point. And I took four very charming pictures of Sophia before, or just as she began to look at the plate once we'd got the bib on. And I took four less than charming pictures when she'd concluded. You have never seen a child with so many fajita ingredients stuck to their face before. We had everything through that meal. We had laughter. We had excitement. We had exhaustion at the end. And at some point, we also had tears, because something every baby has to learn is that jabbing a piece of seasoned chicken into your own eye is not a recipe for happiness. But she was covered. She's so happy. Just as soon as dinner was over, it was bath time. She had to just go straight to the bath. I wish I'd got these pictures on my computer. They're just on my phone. I might put them on Instagram after the show so everyone can have a look. But it was truly charming to see her enjoy her food like that. And she's absolutely a blessing. And I can honestly say, please, if you have any doubts about having children, dispel those doubts. They are an absolute joy. And Sophia has certainly brought something to my life that I never had before. But when it arrived, it not only felt so incredible and exciting, but at the same time so natural and just like it was always meant to be. She really is a blessing. And these little moments, like the fajita, her first fajita, it was something that was, you know, very enjoyable. Somebody said, good job it wasn't a chili. Yeah, it was. We had the mild and tasty fajita mix. We didn't go for like the four chili blow your head off mix. Otherwise, it's a trip to the hospital. That one might have been. So that's the Sophia story for today.
In the grim darkness of the 41st millennium, there is only fajitas. That's all that's left.
The thing is, I always tell people the good stories, but there was something terrible that happened the other day. I took her to the supermarket and she was being so cute the whole way around. And people were like, oh, she's such a cute baby. Oh, we love her. We're so proud of her. And I got her in the car. And on the way home, and it's only a short journey from the supermarket, this was on Sunday, she made this straining noise for the whole way home. So, you know, when you hear something that's wrong with your car, you hear like that, and you're thinking, oh my God, is the timing chain going to go? Well, no, it was little Sophia in her little baby seat going for the whole way home. I'm thinking, that's a lot of grumbling. I wonder what's up with her. And when I lifted her out of the baby seat, the smell was unbelievable. And she had done, we call them poonamis, when they're so big that the nappy can't contain them. And this one had come up out of the stomach, up out of the back, and out of both legs. I've never seen anything like it. But she found it hilarious until we literally had to spray her clean in the shower because it was so bad.
This is the stuff that people tune into Patriotic Weekly Review for. This is the golden nuggets, you know what I mean?
golden nuggets. Anyway, next super chat from Ryan off Melbourne. Thank you very much. £20, very generous. He said, gents, favourite 3HH stickers, please. What are your favourite 100-hander stickers? Well, mine, I don't have three. I'm just going to go for one. The It's Okay to Be White. But I'm pretty much a fan of nearly everything they say and do, because no matter how mild their stickers are, it always makes the press. Boris, what are your favourite 100-hander stickers?
Well, I like the classic ones. It's Okay to Be White and Reject White Guilt. I think keeping them simple is good. I would also just give a nod to the mock, and I don't think it was 100 handers who started this, but the mock Extinction Rebellion stickers as well. Some of them are really, really funny. So look out for them.
I particularly like the ones with the QR codes that take people to videos, because I think a lot of the a lot of the younger generation, they're going to immediately be able to just lift their phone up. They're going to be curious about what is on that QR code, and they're going to follow it to more information. So it's more than just a single thought. And something like a sticker like that is, it gives the opportunity for more than just a very snippet, a very brief snippet of information, as opposed to, say, like a billboard, where you wouldn't be able to see a bunch more information. You wouldn't be able to track it down as easily. So the ones with the QR codes, I strongly endorse.
Yeah, I've got to say, I like the Extinction Rebellion ones as well, because if you're going to troll, that is the way to troll. And that caused so much butthurt from so many sides. It was just, that was fantastic.
And,
so,
and it's appropriate as well, because Extinction Rebellion have confirmed that, I mean, I think one of the leaders of it, or the founders of it, Stuart Basden, confirmed that it's not about the environment. He wrote an article where that was the title. It's not about saving the environment. It's about, it's a vehicle for pushing what he calls social justice. So they're it's absolutely fair to subvert and play with the messaging that they're doing. They deserve it. And it's very funny.
I do like a good troll like that, because the media can't resist, can they? And again, we've said earlier that sometimes, obviously the media are our enemies, but sometimes they're our recruiting sergeants, because when they get so upset over such, what a really milquetoast statement, you know, it's okay for us to be alive. White people have a right to breathe air. White people have a right to exist. And they, oh my God, the racism. Can you believe anyone says white people have a right to breathe air? You know, this is just recruitment central for us. And I think that by creating absolute outrage over such really down-to-earth statements that on an ideological or even common sense basis you can't disagree with, I think that's the way forward. And the 100-handers have been an absolutely powerful force for allowing people to do proper activism, free from kind of the booze and the nonsense that we've seen associated with what we were talking earlier, the sort of spitfire bulldog Churchill patriotism. Isn't it funny as well? That's another thing about your pitbull spitfire. In fact, we should, if we had a competition, it'd be nice to see for somebody to come up with the most ridiculously cheesy sort of fake patriot recruitment poster. What would it have to be? Would it have to be a bulldog piloting a Spitfire?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
With a picture of Churchill sort of painted on the wing or something. Would that be enough? Or would it be Churchill on the head of Churchill on a bulldog piloting a Spitfire? I mean, I don't know, but I'm sure if we did ever have an art competition, that would be who can produce the most cringeworthy patriot piece of propaganda. But I will say this, isn't it funny how these patriots who love all that Spitfire nonsense, they are the ones that can't help themselves when it comes to drinking too much beer and being leery and making fools of themselves at demos and things like that. Whereas we, the ones that they deride, we're actually well-dressed, we're polite, we're intelligent, we're disciplined, and we steer ourselves toward genuine politics.
That's why there is a Spitfire Ale, isn't there? I think it's like Shepherd Neame or something. There is actually a Spitfire Ale, and it's. I think the reason why the Spitfire as well is one of the symbols that's chosen is because that was what was said to win the Battle of Britain, right? Which apparently, I mean, the Battle of Britain, so the ordinary narrative goes, was the beginning of the Germans' attempt to invade Britain, which is not actually true. It was just an attempt to try and bring Britain to the table. So I mean, the whole story is just riddled with falsehoods, just to make us believe that it was a noble cause. But a bulldog like Churchill with a bulldog's head in airman's goggles, drinking a pint of Spitfire, perhaps munching on a pasty or something, flying a Spitfire into the White Cliffs of Dover. That'd be it.
Be crying. my left eye's got a little tear coming out of the corner. that would be a new low, even for the plastic patriots. If they had that, if they put that on a t-shirt, if Tommy Robinson put that very image on a t-shirt, he could buy his second £1 million house overnight, couldn't he? They'd be lining up.
Right, the bulldog is wearing Gucci shoes as well. And you've got to have the Spitfire actually crashing into the White Cliffs of Dover to symbolise the utter self-ownage of that useless kind of patriotism as well.
And the White Cliffs of Dover are made of cocaine. Do you think
Yeah. and on the top, there's a little door saying, you know where the door is as well.
Oh, God. This is sort of, how did it get to this? How did it get to this? We started
this is the culmination of everything we've talked about.
Fajitas and how it's got to cliffs made of cocaine and Gucci shoes. Well, the next super chat is from White Nord, $5. Thank you very much. And he said, and this is very interesting actually, the Danish state media actually released an article where they told SAS indirectly to tone it down. The Economist in their article specifically told them it was a dangerous path to walk, especially when you call customers Russian trolls. Great show. Thank you very much. That's a very interesting point. Did you guys know that they were trying to dial this back and sort of roll it back at the last minute?
Mm-mm. I had no idea. Well, are you saying that SAS, the company itself, claimed that the downvoting was a Russian troll op?
No, the media have claimed it's Russian troll, but the Danish state media has released an article where they basically indirectly told SAS that they need to tone it down because what they've done here reflects badly on them to a degree, because obviously SAS, I believe, is partly funded by both, I think, the Danish and Swedish state.
Yeah, yeah. That reminds me a bit, actually, that sort of like please be careful approach. That reminds me of, I was listening to Millennial Woes stream from the other night where he was talking to On the Offensive, and they brought up the subject of the book White Shift by Eric Kaufman. I don't know if you guys are aware of that book, but I did a video on it. It's the first video on my channel, actually. And it's a book where, like, Eric Kaufman is a sort of a demographer and a scholar of demographic changes. And the book White Shift argues that basically it's a good thing that whites are on course to become a minority in each country, but it must be handled better lest there be a strong reaction, i.e. from people like us. And this is the same sort of thing, I think, the Danish government saying to them, can you not be so offensive about it? We want them to not really realise what's happening. But, of course, people get carried away. I mean, what was it, the word you used, Jason? Hubris, right? I mean, and that's exactly what it is. I mean, well, hopefully it is hubris in the sense of the Greek tragic sequence or whatever it is, which was just then followed by Nemesis, right? And we're the Nemesis. Hopefully that's how it goes, so.
We have also had the winning submission for our Spitfire art contest. I've missed the person who said it in the chat because it scrolled past too fast. They said at the back of the Spitfire, there's a little flag flying. It's like, and it's the Israeli flag. Spitfire's got one of those tail flags and it's the Israeli flag. That's the icing on the cake. That would finish most truly cringe patriot people.
And someone in the chat said Vera Lynn is singing at the same time.
And finally, final super chat is Timmy Bobinson. Thank you very much. Gave us $10 and said, for our children. Now, we do have some questions, so we'll do a quick fire round. These are just entropy questions, not super chats. Frank, I'm removing some of these, and if I've removed your question, don't take it personally. It's because it's been answered because it was asked via a super chat or something else. Frank L. De Silva said, and this is for Jason. Jason, what is your take on VA second activities?
Second activities? What is that going to be? Another? I don't know if it's going to be another march or another protest. But I mean, ultimately, what's happening is they had that huge rally down in Richmond. And if that person could maybe tag me in the live chat, and as we move through, maybe I could speak to it as we roll out tonight. But Ultimately, there was that huge rally down in Richmond. Of course, it was utterly peaceful. Everyone was armed that attended, I think, virtually rifles of various types, even some of the most powerful ones you can get your hands on. Everything was peaceful. These were the people coming out peacefully, white folks who thought this is the way democracy works, right? And instead, the anti-whites in the government in Richmond continued to push forward from one committee to the next. These laws that will ban the right to self-defense in Virginia. And of course, that's how we talk about it rather than banning the right to own firearms. So I don't know if there's going to be another rally or something like this, if that's what he's speaking to. But I predict that we'll see these laws moving forward. And just as I predict when this entire thing started, when they took over the Richmond government, that there won't be a great civil war taking place in Virginia like these idiots are saying and trying to instigate, and therefore bringing ire upon us, condemnation from the public, which, by the way, we were just talking about with SAS and those anti-whites speaking out against the other anti-whites. They know that even though the anti-whites dominate the centers of power, they dominate the printing of currency, they dominate the government, they know that there's a power out there in our societies, all of our countries, that is greater than they are, and that's why they have to tread on the thin ice with them, these great many millions of whites who have normal sensibilities out there. So what's going to end up happening is what's already happening. Prices in West Virginia are going through the roof for homes, and that is because Virginians are moving out rather than engaging in the civil war that would end their lives and the leisure and comfort that they have come to appreciate in the cradle that we have created here in Western civilization. I pass it back to you, brother.
Okay, next question. Is from Matt V. He said, should Patriarchal Alternatives start now with doing voluntary civil charity work and national trust work that help our white communities? We should develop a positive track record to earn voter trust. Agreed. The first step, though, is to build our own community and organization, start leafleting, build local groups, and that is exactly the kind of work we want to do. Another question about Patriotic Alternative is, When this is from Tall Kevin 87, and he says, Mark, when will you make a website for Patriotic Alternative merchandise? Well, people have been asking about badges and merchandise, but I'm always very hesitant to do things like that. I appreciate donations. Obviously, I need donations, you know, to help with the cost of things and also just cover things like living costs. The fact is, I absolutely appreciate everything that's sent in, but I never beg for donations. I'm not somebody who sends out begging letters. Everyone who signed up to PA will know that they get a monthly bulletin for signing up to PA with talk of the progress we've made in the previous month. That bulletin does not ask for donations. It does not link to ways to donate. We don't have payment gateways or anything like this because we're trying to show people that we're not a group of grifters. We're not in this for the money. I know that recently Tommy Robinson, TR News, sent out a letter saying that they were desperate for funds. They've got legal costs mounting. They're 75% down on this time last year in terms of fundraising. You know, and if they wanted to keep the wheels on the wagon, you've got to dig deep. And I know other groups that send out weekly, sometimes more than one email a week, begging for money. And that isn't what we're about. And I don't want to be that guy. And when I say that guy, in this case, I mean, can you remember the Football Lads Alliance? They had this big march through London, apparently about 50, 60,000 people attended. Now, before they even put up a website dealing with what they stood for, before they even actually laid out their sort of manifesto, they had a website full of merchandise. You could buy a hoodie for 45 quid and a cap for 15 quid and a badge and a t-shirt. And things like that always turn my stomach and they make me very suspicious of these different patriotic or nationalistic groups when they don't even have a basic website telling you what they stand for, but they are begging you to buy their merch. So unfortunately, we will not be having a merchandise site for some time. We will not be sending, obviously, we need donations, but we're not going to coerce people, twist people's arms, or send out those begging letters. Because personally, I think those begging letters have been one of the reasons why nationalism hasn't taken off in this country, because many organizations don't treat their members and supporters with the respect they deserve. They treat them like pay pigs. They treat them like they're a never-ending payday. And that's not right. We're trying to build a community here. This isn't about building a business. It's about building a community. So merchandise will no doubt come at some point in the form of maybe a discreet badge. But it's not going to be something that I'm worried about for the time being or particularly interested in rolling out, because I don't want to give people the wrong impression about what we're trying to build here. Another case in point is the last conference we did, we actually made a loss on it. But at the end of the conference, we didn't take any donations. We didn't take a big collection to try and cover the loss. In fact, quite the opposite. We said, if people want to give a small sum, please leave it to the hosts. Please leave it to the people who did such a fantastic job at the venue, making sure we were treated so marvelously. Because I think giving something small back to people who have gone to such great effort to make sure that we had a great day is more important than us shilling for donations like so many other groups do. It's very important that we start Patriotic Alternative on the right foot, because the last thing I want anyone to be able to accuse us of is that we're just another one of those patriot groups that shill for cash and do nothing more than send begging letters. So I hope you understand, and I hope that, in time we build something, and eventually I'm sure we will have something small that people can buy, like a badge. And people are saying in the chat, somebody said, I can't sign up to Patriotic Alternative, it won't let me for some reason. I'm sure you have signed up, and if you're having problems, email me at mark@thefourwesternman.com. When you sign up, you will get, eventually, at the end of the month where you've signed up, you will get the newsletter that everyone else gets. The only problem we have is people with Yahoo email addresses, and for some reason our newsletters go in their spam folder every time. We have one last super chat. Do we have one last super chat? It said, yes, it's from White Nord. He gave another $3 US and said, new article from Danish state media. They got an immigrant expert to brand our reaction a conspiracy theory. They found some 4chan threads and doubled down on SAS rhetoric about right-wing attack. Well, it'll only end up backfiring on them. It will absolutely backfire. One last question. Never Be Blackpilled said, could you get Orwell and Good on the show? He would make a great guest. Yes, we can. Orwell and Good, if you want to be on the show, please send me a message, mark@thefallofwesternman.com. That is how you can get in touch if you want to be on the show. So that about gets to the point where we are going to wrap things up. Now, firstly, I would like to thank the incredible Horace. It's been a great show. I've not laughed so much in a long time. Horace, please tell us where we can find you and how we can contribute to your excellent work, and give yourself a little bit of an outro.
I'm really happy to be on, Mark and Jason. Thanks very much for having me on. It's a big show for me as well. You've got a big audience, so it's also nice in that way. And thanks for urging people to come check me out. My BitChute link is in below the video, and from there you'll see links on that page to my YouTube and my Telegram and so on, so you can find me from there. Anyone wants to donate, there's donation links under my videos. Could I give three quick shout outs before we finish? Is that all right? Just firstly, Mark, to you and Laura Towler for We Were Never Asked, which the moment I heard about it, I just thought was a superb idea. And I just think anything like that that can raise people's consciousness of the demographic changes is totally worthwhile. And also massive credit to all the volunteers who helped you, who did a hard day of work, very difficult stuff getting people to talk to them. So well done to everyone for that. The second one was just big credit to Chris of Patriotic Talk and all the people doing gripper operations at the moment. You are making a big difference, and it's funny at the same time. So well done for that. And my third shout out is to my good friend History Bro, who I believe was in the chat earlier. I'm not sure if he's still listening, but I would urge everyone to check out his excellent history channel. I'm on a few of his videos as well, if that helps sugar it a bit. He's just got an excellent history channel, and he's got about 1,880 followers, if that helps find him. So just look up History Bro. Yeah. So thanks very much for having me on, guys.
Hey, thank you very much. And everyone, please go and sub him. Get his sub counts up both on BitChute and on YouTube. Now, over to our great co-host, Jason. My friend, please tell us how we can find you, who's on tap this week, and any other relevant information that our viewers need to know.
Relevant information is that we are winning. We are growing stronger every single day. There is nothing that is going on now that is we can't be positive about. We should and continue to take advantage of all of these opportunities that the anti-whites are making for us and the contextual shift that is very slowly taking place, which is what I've talked about. We are going to have opportunities we can't even fathom today. We need the numbers. We need the liquidity. We need the connectivity. And we need to continue to move in this direction so that we can be in the proper position, poised to take advantage of these opportunities as they become available to us and strike like the viper when it is time to strike, recapturing our destiny and all the different iterations that that means. I want to thank our intrepid moderators, Syrup and Spartan, I saw in the chat today, doing a fantastic job moderating and sharing links. Thank you so both so very much for your dedication and hard work. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get a round of applause for them. We do that too rarely. They do a lot of hard work and they're doing it free of charge. They're doing it out of a contribution to the greatest cause of all causes, and that is the preservation of our biosphere and the recapture of our destiny. So I salute the both of them. I salute all of you being here with us today. You can find me at nowhiteguilt.org, theafterparty.tv, nowhiteguilt.org, theafterparty.tv. And we are going to be having a tap this week, Thursday, maybe Friday even. We'll see. You'll find the information. I'll be tweeting it. And a big thank you for Horace being here. It's an honor to appear with you and have you on the show. And of course, the biggest debt and gratitude goes to our leader, Mark Collett, for the hard work that he does in service of white well-being. And to you, sir, I pass the mic.
Thank you for your kind words. Well, it is now time to bring the show to a close. I would like to say that next week we will be back again, same time, and our guest is the one and only Frody Midyord, who is talking about the forthcoming Scanza Forum event, which will feature a debate between E. Michael Jones and Jared Taylor. So that's going to be very, very interesting. He's been a guest before, and I'm certainly looking forward to having him on again. Now, as I've said at the beginning of the show, if you want to watch this on replay or share the replays, please do so on BitChute, because these streams are deleted 12 hours after they go live. I will be back on Friday for my regular video, and it's something a little bit more, well, it's not completely lighthearted, but it's something different to the kind of thing we've discussed on this show today. So make sure you tune in to my regular video. Now, that just leaves me to say, oh, and one last thing, very important. I will be uploading the fajita pictures, two before and two after of Sophia, onto my Instagram account. Yeah, I'll put them up on Instagram so you can all have a look. So they'll be on there after the show finishes. So that just leaves me to say, one last thing. I keep forgetting stuff. Make sure you check out Radio Albion. This was also live over on Radio Albion. So we're not just streaming live to YouTube anymore. Radio Albion is the excellent website of Sven Longshanks. He does great work for us and he produces excellent nationalist material every day of the week. So if you want to tune in, radioalbion.com. So that just leaves me to say thank you. Thank you to Jason. Thank you to the excellent Horace. It's been a pleasure having you on, and we will certainly have you on again in the future. Keep up the fantastic work. I would like to say thank you to all the people who donated so very, very generously. Thank you very much. That all helps, and it keeps the lights on here. It really does mean a lot, so thank you very much. But as always, I would like to say the biggest thank you to our incredible audience. It has been a great show. We've covered a lot of very important issues. We've had a lot of laughs. We've had a lot of different stories. But it is you guys who make this community what it is. I hope you have a wonderful evening. I love you all. Stay safe. And I will see you same time next week for another episode of Patriotic Weekly Review. Have a great evening, and I will see you again soon. We'll be right back.